Good afternoon. You know, I used to always worry about tripping on that stage coming up. And as I just walked over now, I actually looked down to take that step. I forgot it was gone already. You know, it's kind of hard to believe that it's March already. I mean, this year has already seems to be just flying by, and now we're just a few weeks away from the start of God's spring holy days, starting with the Passover, which will just be in a few weeks away. And with that, about this time of year, we usually start hearing messages about, you know, self-examination, to look back and see how we've been doing over the last year, see if we've maybe taken steps forward in our journey to try to make a better relationship with God, or have we taken steps backwards? Something we focus on, and we do this every year. And what we hope to find, though, is that we are becoming more like God and less like the world around us. And this would include even how we examine ourselves. You know, it's a clear contrast between the way we should examine ourselves and the way the world examines or views themselves. So I want to start today by looking at a scripture in 2 Peter. And there's a question that's posed here, 2 Peter chapter 3. And this question is also going to be the title of my message. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11. And in my Bible here, it's under the heading of the day of the Lord. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So here we get a pretty good indication from Scripture that we don't want to be a part of the world. We don't want to be like them, the way this world wants us to be. Because at this point, it says that the world and all its works will be burned up. Not where you want to be. Verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and in godliness? And again, that would be the title, what manner of person ought you to be? Now, this is an interesting question. What manner of person ought you to be? And you would think, by what we just read, it would be pretty clear. You obviously don't want to be worldly. We don't want to be that way, because all that is about to be burnt up. But the people of this world seem to be really struggling with this question. What manner of person ought I to be? You know, well, for one thing, and you don't have to turn here. We all know this, but this is in Genesis 1. It said, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Now, that sounds pretty clear. You're either male or you're female. But this is not how a very fast-growing segment of our population thinks today. I looked this up on the internet, and some of this might seem a little crazy, but I looked it up on some reliable sites. And as of right now, according to, I guess, the professionals, you might say, there are somewhere between 60 and 100 different genders. The word sex, as it refers to man and woman, has been replaced by gender. And they have a listing of somewhere between 60 to 100. One of the most interesting ones that I read, and I'm not going to read any of them here, was there is a gender for people who don't know what gender they are because they believe the gender is hiding from them and they have to find it. There's actually a word for that. I couldn't pronounce it, which is one of the reasons I'm not going to read it. But that's one of the ways of thought. You know, this is not how we are. I mean, this is, they believe it's not what you are, but what you think you are, how you view yourself. And again, I know that sounds crazy, but there are even laws being passed that's protecting this way of thinking. And now it's even gone beyond gender. And this is where I thought, we're heading down a steep slope, and it's we're picking up steam. This story ran on Fox News. It says the state of Delaware is proposing a new law that would allow children, through the assistance of their school, to change their gender or race without informing the children's parents. Now, in case you didn't catch that, it said to change their gender or their race. So now you can be whatever race you think you are. The story goes on to say that these regulations are similar to policies that have already been implemented across the country in Oregon and Washington and Massachusetts. These three states are already allowing this to be done and making it law. And when they ask them why, this is the reason that they gave. The simple fact is that some parents are simply not going to be supportive of their child and may endanger the child's safety or well-being. To involve that parent in that decision would be wrong. This is not how God wants us to view ourselves. This is not how God wants us to examine ourselves. Now, in some places in this country, some hospitals already, on birth certificates, they're leaving the sex or the gender marked as undetermined, allowing for the child to get old enough to decide for itself. In some places where it is becoming law, they cannot write it on the birth certificate. Even if the parents want it, they have to wait for the child to get old enough to make that decision themselves. Now, I guess what they'll do is start leaving the space under race as undetermined until the child is old enough to decide what it thinks it is. I guess this really isn't all that surprising. It was just a couple years ago when Barack Obama was president, he made a statement that race is a social construct. So I looked that up, and I found several articles, and this one's from the New York Times. And the New York Times article wrote this, and this is the title, "Race and Racial Identity Are Social Constructs." And it goes on to say, "Race is not biological. It's a social construct, and like race, racial identity can be fluid, changing. How one perceives himself or herself today through racial identity can shift with experience and time." That's the New York Times, by the way. And if this was not strange enough, I don't know if you've ever heard this expression before, you're only as young as you feel, or you're only as old as you feel. Well, guess what? Weight and age are now also being considered for self-identities or identifiers. Now, I have a friend who is a highway patrolman, and we've discussed some of these things before, but I can't imagine his face if I were to hand him my driver's license with my picture on it, and the identity reads, because I self-identify this way, as a 35-year-old, 125-pound Hispanic woman. You know, how's that going to work? When you get on airplanes, if you're self-identifying, and these are laws that have to be followed, how does that work? Your picture does not match what your self-identity is. You know, this just made me think of something else. Sorry, I shouldn't get off track, but the same people that are pushing these kind of theories and these kind of ideas and these kind of thoughts are the same people who are pushing global warming and climate change. And if you don't agree with global warming or climate change, they say you hate science. You're a science denier. They're going to label you. You're a science denier because you don't believe that. But yet these are the same people who want to take basic biology and just throw it completely out the window. That science is no good anymore. So it's a matter of picking and choosing which science you're going to believe. And again, I really don't think this is what's meant by the question, what manner of person ought we to be? Of course, I am sure, however, that this is the way of thinking that was being referred to just before that question was asked, when it said, "Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up." This is what is going to be destroyed. You know, we're living in a very mixed up, very confused world. You know, and people are looking to themselves for answers. They're not looking to God for an answer. They're looking to within themselves. And as I said, Passover now is just a few weeks away. So as we continue to examine ourselves, we should keep in mind that question of what manner of person ought I to be? Or we could word it, what manner of person ought we to be in this present evil world, and how ought we to conduct ourselves as we await the promised kingdom of God and for the return of Jesus Christ? If you're still in 2 Peter, if you would, we're going to jump up to verse 13 and read 13 and 14. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, how different is the world we're living in now compared to that? Verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. This is what we're looking for, to be found without spot and blameless. When we examine ourselves, that's what we're looking for, the spots. We're looking for the blemishes. We're looking for the sin that we need to get washed away from us so that we are clean from sin. You know, the Passover lamb was perfect, without spot or blemish. Jesus Christ died as the Passover lamb, perfect, without spot or blemish, so that our sins upon repentance could be washed away and that we could be found clean without spot. Verse 14 also mentions to be blameless. You know, what does it mean to be blameless? Well, in a word, it's obedient. You know, to be obedient to God. We need to come under God's submission and be obedient to him. And that is a concept this world does not understand. This is a concept the world has discarded. And, you know, it probably, this way of thought for us probably seems as crazy to them as what they are doing now seems to us. You know, we need to see ourselves differently. We can't let the world seep in and start looking for those things within ourselves. We have to be looking for what God wants us to look for, the sin, to get it removed from our life. Flip back to 1 Peter 13, if you would. Oh, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. First Peter 1:13. Here Peter's writing that we are to be a holy people. Therefore, verse 13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust in your former ignorance. Don't fall back to what we were before we were called, is what this is saying. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God wants us to be a holy and peculiar people. You can find that in 1 Peter 2:9. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to live holy, separate from the way of the world around us. You know, I said this world is a mess, and it won't last long. It can't last long. My friend and I, a guy I used to work with, we used to sit around, and he goes to church, he's another Coleman, no relation, but we would talk about things and how things may have been in the before Noah, how bad things were. And we used to kind of just joke and say, how bad can it get? And some of the things that we really stretched out on to be funny is happening. I mean, these things are already starting to happen, and with just in a few years, that you never, a couple years ago, some of this you never even would have thought could possibly be brought up on television as a serious thought, but it is. So the world, it can't go on like this a long time. And the world that God has called us to, the life that he has called us to, is obviously so much better. The new heaven and the new earth is going to be, I mean, you can't even imagine or compare the two. And seeing that all things are going to be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be? We should be holy in all our conduct. We should live separate, very separate lives than the world around us. And we need to live our lives as clean and free of sin as possible. It's a tall order. It's a lot. It's hard at times. It's hard to live up to, but that's why we go through this every year. That's why we have these messages and we rehearse this every year. And it's to keep us focused on God, on what God is trying to do in us, what we need to be removing from our lives, from our character. And as we review this every year, we should remember to ask that question: what manner of person ought I be? Have a great Sabbath.